Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, thank you, Brent. We are so fortunate to be part of the Empower Radio family and grateful for your hospitality. And we're grateful to all of our listeners, too, for tuning in for some positivity. Today, my guest is Joyce Glick. She's been here before, and I'm glad that she's back. And we're going to be talking about authenticity. You know, in a world where we often feel that almost nothing is authentic, we have a tremendous opportunity to not only stand up, but also stand out. And that's not only good for us, it's good for those around us too. Joyce, it's so good to have you back with us today.
Hey, thank you, Paul. I'm really thrilled to be back.
Yeah. You know, maybe I should tell people a little bit about you. You're in sunny Florida right now, and you told me a minute ago that it's 83 degrees there, so some people are going to be wanting to get on a plane and come visit you in person.
Yes, it's beautiful here. No humidity and 83 degrees. You couldn't ask for more.
Well, you should be working for the chamber down there. Joyce is a personal and professional coach who is extremely passionate about her life, and I know that firsthand. And she loves helping other people discover their own passions and then helping them set good things in motion in their lives. Joyce, I know you love to bring people to the edge sometimes, and I know you do that in a very positive way. And maybe it's on the edge that we begin to find out who we really are. What do you think about that?
I do. I think it is on the edge. I think that when we're, on the edge, we're not taking up as much space. And so it leaves room for all the other stuff in the world to go on. And we get to kind of figure out who we are and what we're really up to and what we really say we want in our life. And really about being authentic.
Joyce, when you were a little girl, did you plan on becoming a life coach?
No, I didn't. What
were the plans?
To be an interpreter at the United Nations. I got that in a different way. So I do. I've been in some really fantastic relationships with people and have learned some other languages. So I think it's just kind of how you view it. Authentically, I've got some different languages going on. So maybe I could be considered somebody who works for United Nations. I don't know.
Well, actually, that sort of resonates with being a coach, helping people sort things out. You know, whenever you and I talk, we tend to cover a lot of ground. So we'll at least start at the beginning to stay on topic and talk about authenticity. Why is it such a struggle for us to be authentic? You would think that would be the easiest thing in the world, to just be who we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough thing, actually, for most people, because we have an image and an ego that goes along with us. And, we grow up in a world that has certain expectations of us and, you know, how we show up. You know, let's say you're going for a job interview. If you go in there in your Levi's for one job, it might not be appropriate. For another job, it could be totally appropriate. So it's sometimes really something that people grasp, you know, really grapple with is being authentic and who they are. So how do you show up authentically and still, fit in with the world at large, let's say, or in your group of people or society?
You know, that's the example that you used is such a perfect one. And I was going to ask you a question about that, because in a way, in any given day, we have to put on, and I'm not sure this is a good thing or a bad thing, but we have to sort of put on different personas, so that when we're at work, we have to pay attention to the culture at our place of work and pay attention to how other people are dressing. And then when we go to the movies or we're out with friends on the weekend, we have a different persona. When we're visiting with somebody in the hospital, there's another set of actions that we have to adopt. And how does that tie in with being our authentic selves?
Well, I think that, you know, let's say we have a lot of different hats that we put on. So I always think of my different selves and how I show up as just putting on a different hat. Hmm. So, I have a baseball hat that maybe says coach on it, and I have a baseball hat that says mom on it, and I have a baseball hat that says, friend on it. But I think the distinction here about how we show up in the world is that in all of those hats, the real thing that I want to be is who I authentically am at my core. So if you think back to what you mentioned earlier, when you were a child at maybe 5 or 10, one of those years, you know, when you were smaller, who were you really? You know, what things did you love? How did you show up in the world? I mean, were you so concerned about the way you look? Were you really so concerned about what people thought about what you said? Were you really as tied into your image as you are now? So I think when you take that step back in time and look at, you know, who was that person at 5 to 10 years old, that's your authentic self back then.
Do you think, you know, that's really interesting to me, because so you think that who we are at our core, we can go way, way, way back to the early days and get some hints about who we really still are as adults.
Sure, absolutely. I think that, you know, there's a lot of studies that have been done that our basic personalities and who we are shaped in our world by the time we're 5. And probably between 5 and 10 is when you kind of come into your own as, you know, figuring out who you want to be. And you have all these big dreams and, you know, I want to be a cowboy. No, I want to be a fireman. And, you know, all these things that really do resonate with you that you love.
You know, that is so, it's funny that, that you bring that up, because when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a trapeze artist. And Michael says that's because I wanted to wear tights, but I don't think that's true. And for Christmas, my oldest son, and his family gave me trapeze lessons. So I'm actually going to be on the trapeze at some time in the next couple of months, giving that a whirl.
That's fabulous.
Joyce, how else, besides looking back at our childhood, can people get some clues about their authentic selves?
Well, one of my favorite things is a model that I use a lot in coaching, which is, so let me just give it to you real quick. So most of the time, we in the world show up as we're going to do something. We're going to get a job. We're going to do this job so that we can have a new car and a nice house so we can be happy. Okay. So that's really kind of being unauthentic. It's the doing portion of life, the mechanics of it. So that do have be is we all show up most of the time in the world as. Versus if we be first and then we do something to have something. So we would switch this around. I want to be happy. So I'm going to do what I love, which is coaching or being an artist or whatever, so that I can have this, whatever it is you want in your life. So that's kind of the model that I use as far as when I talk about it in coaching. And then there's some other tips. You have to be really willing. You have to be willing to be authentic. And sometimes being willing to be authentic means that you are going to ruffle people's feathers. Mm-hmm. You are going to have friends who don't necessarily agree with all of a sudden how you are. They're going to be like, what? Who are you? Going on with you?
Well, yeah, I think that fear of rejection must be at least one of the forces that begins to move us away from being who we really are, don't you think?
It does. And you know, I always liken all of this, Paul, to a big iceberg. So if you think about all of the things that we have in our life and you think of an iceberg, we as human beings only are conscious 10% of what's above the waterline. The iceberg model. The stuff that's below is the hidden emotions, our self-limiting beliefs, which only branch off into two things, control or approval. And then below that is our intention and what we say we really want. And below that is our authentic self.
So I think there's
a lot of work involved in, you know, figuring out who you are authentically and what you really want.
And I would agree that there is a lot of work at figuring it out, but it's also, it takes a lot of energy, not being your authentic self, creating someone else, to be, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it really is. Actually, for me, when I say there's a lot of work, I don't mean it in like it's going to take you millennia to figure it out. It's really just about, so what you said earlier is that, you know, the fear of rejection gets in the way of us being who we authentically are. Well, that's tied to your need for approval. So if you know that, then, you know, what can you do to say, you know what, I can approve of myself and the people that are very close to me approve to me and give yourself permission to be authentically who you are.
And, you know, I think that I've learned the, and it's probably in part age, but I've learned too that, you know, being rejected is just part of living a life, and that we can actually deal with that more easily than we may think. And in fact, it becomes this looming thing that's really much bigger than the actual reality of it is.
Yeah, and I think that's like with most human beings. Don't you think that we, as a whole, have a tendency to hold on to our stuff, and if we hold on to it, it grows bigger and bigger instead of versus step number two, let it go. You know, let go, be willing to accept it. You're already living a unique and authentic life.
That's very true.
And the next step is just incorporating that and not pretending.
You know, as a gay guy who spent many, many years not being fully present or authentic with family and even my closest friends, you know, I can speak to the self-inflicted pain of not showing up as we really are. And then on the plus side, I've also learned that the more you show up as you really are, then the deeper and more loving the connections are in your life. So how do you help people get past the fear? And I guess that's my part one of my question. How do you help people get past the fear of not being liked or being rejected or not being accepted or not fitting in with the crowd?
Well, for me, I think that's a pretty easy, you know, the question I guess I would ask is what's the worst thing that can happen if you're rejected?
Mm-hmm.
And usually people will come up with something, you know, that are, well, you know, my coworkers might think that I'm silly or, you know, they might think I'm not competent to do my job or something like that. And if that's really the worst thing that can happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, then there's just, to me, that's kind of like, well, that's the worst thing. You know, I have that kind of thought. I'm like, really, that's the worst thing? And really, sometimes all it is asking those kind of questions about, you know, what is the worst thing if somebody decides, let's just say there's one guy in the office that you just can't kind of, you and him don't gel really, and you start showing up authentically. One of two things is going to happen. He's going to really love you more because you are being authentic and he can relate to you, or he's going to like you even less. And if that's your two options, you know, where do you want to stand?
Do you think that we're moving, and this is kind of a big question, but in general, in our culture at least, do you think that we're moving towards more authenticity or less?
I actually think that we're moving more towards authenticity, and it's very interesting because I had a discussion about this just recently about Facebook, and people were saying, well, you know, Facebook this and Facebook that, and I said, well, you know, it's a choice. You can be there or you can't be, and what I know based on my own experience is that the more authentic you show up and more transparent who you really are, the more people will engage with you. Even in a social media where they don't know you.
Yeah, I think Facebook and really the other social media channels are bringing up all kinds of questions about relationships and intimacy and authenticity as well.
Yeah, I think that they are. And, you know, authenticity to me is such a fun thing because I love people who are just authentically who they are. And you could be, you know, I'm going to use these characterizations that I don't normally use, but you could be a geek,
mm-hmm.
or you could be some guy that's dressed like a goth guy, or you could be, you know, a member of some church and always in a suit. And so for me, when I'm being authentic with people and I meet those people, I don't see the outside. I don't see what they're dressed as. I want to know who that person really is. I've got one friend who, if you met, a lot of people meet him and they're like, oh my gosh, you look at him and you're like, my gosh, he's like really gothic. He paints his nails black and he has black hair. And I have to tell you that most people don't get to know who he authentically is. He is by far one of the best sound men in the industry. And he's also one of the most humble people I've ever met in my life and such a good person. But as he risks people not accepting him because he paints his nails black or wears dark hair. So that's a risk that he takes by being himself authentically.
Do you think, you know, and that brings up a question that hadn't occurred to me until right this second, But do you think people actually want other people to be authentic with them?
I do. I think as a majority that we really crave connection. And in my worldview, the only way to have a really deep connection with other human beings is to be really who you are. And, you know, everybody in the world doesn't have to like you. And everybody in your circle doesn't have to like you. And everybody at work doesn't have to like you. It's okay. That's what makes us all different and unique. But when you really show up... Go ahead.
No, you know what's funny about that, Joyce, is the reality is not everybody likes you anyway. So
it's true.
Being authentic isn't taking that much of a risk in terms of whether people will like you or not.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And really, I mean, if we think about it down at its core, is it really that important if the guy at the gas station doesn't particularly like me? No, not really that important in the big scheme of my life.
You know, I used to have a friend who would always say, I'm just being honest, and then they would say something unkind or not very flattering, I guess. And I often thought that that was sort of make-believe authenticity, that, you know, I'm just being honest and then slamming me over the head. What do you think about that? If we're going to be authentically who we are, then there are some parts of us, like we have bad days, we are not necessarily always fun to be around. And so do we have to protect ourselves from, do we have to protect others from the less attractive parts of who we are?
No, I think that being authentic is being who you are all the time. And sometimes you can get, you know, you can run into somebody or see somebody and they're having a bad day. And if you're authentic, so, I mean, if you were having a bad day and you and I were talking, I would be able to go, ooh, Paul's just having a bad day. You know, hey, I'll talk to you later, Paul. You know, and not be offended by it because it's not about me. It's about you having a bad day. It's not, it has nothing to do with me.
And is it easy for you? I mean, I know that you deal with people all the time about becoming more authentic. Has that been a process for you, or have you always, has that come easy to you?
Well, you know, I think it came easy to me up until I was in my 20s. And then I think like everyone else, I got stuck in my image. And, you know, I was raised in Utah. I did a lot of my work in Utah. And I didn't necessarily always fit in, and I always was adjusting my image. You know, I've got some tattoos. I still to this day cover them up with most people until I know them. But I kind of got stuck in my image too. And then, you know, maybe let's say 10, 15 years passed, and I remember just kind of being in this space where I was not happy, and I couldn't pinpoint what it was that I wasn't happy with. And I had a realization that I, by not being authentic, I was giving up the power in my own life. And so for me, it was just kind of a, you know, a week of going back and looking, okay, who were you when you were 5? You know, how did you show up when you were 10? What was it like when you were 15? What are the greatest moments that you had that really hit home with you? And then when I hit 20, I was like, oh yeah, hello, I know you. And so for me, it was really about really re-embracing who I am. And I'm kind of edgy and, you know, I say things, I'm kind of a bottom line person. Things to me are black and white with a little bit of color in them. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, you know, people, most people like that. Some people don't. I'm not a coach for everyone, but I can. You know, I know a coach that would be happy to work with you if I'm not the right coach for you. So, you know, I'm not for everybody. But what I know is that the more authentic I am, the more I show up. Sometimes I swear like a sailor. Sometimes I dress in things that people are like, really? Why do you have that on? You know, I've got a pair of shoes that have those toes in them. And people always look at me like, you know, they want to ask, but they're like, yeah, no, she might be a little weird, so I'm not going to ask her. And it's a pair of shoes, for goodness sake, right? But then I can put my Chanel suit on and I can be just, so the key is being who you are at your core, no matter what you got on or what group you're in. It's really being you. and embracing who you are and being just happy, because that's our contribution to the world. My belief is really, our contribution to the world is really showing up who we are with our unique talents, our gifts, our good days, our bad days, our ideas. That's what makes the world interesting and human beings fascinating.
You know, Joyce, when you began working with someone in a coaching situation, I mean, is that where you start?
Well, I do. I think that there are a couple places to start, depending on what that kind of work they want to do. My sense with the people that I work with is that after I've built rapport and trust with them, they always show up authentically with me. And that's what I believe. Okay. It might take a little while for them to really be authentic, but I just always hold them in the space of, this is who this person authentically is. You know, this is who they are. And it sometimes changes over time. The more they trust you, people are more open with you, and they're more willing to share who they really are at their core.
In your practice and in your work, have you found people that are so out of touch with who they are that they can't find their way back, or do people find their way back pretty easily?
No, I've never found anybody who couldn't find their way back. I would say a lot of people grapple with it. And again, it's because of, you know, maybe a family member, you know, I mean, let's just say a good example, we'll just use those shoes. So let's just say that I love this pair of shoes. They're great. They make you feel like you're walking barefoot. I personally love to be barefoot. Okay. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. always socially acceptable. I would go barefoot everywhere if I could. So if I wear these shoes and I have people going, yeah, why do you have those shoes on? I hope you're not wearing those all the time. You know, they're just, I mean, I had somebody yesterday look at them and go, what are those shoes? And I went, well, they're just shoes. They're like walking barefoot. And they went, I go, well, you know, because I could tell they were uneasy with them. And I go, you know, I don't wear them all the time. I'm not going to wear them to a party, a dinner party. And they're like, oh, that's good.
You know, well, you know, and it was, I mean, that when you talk about people being a little bit uneasy, that brings up a really good sort of topic that we can maybe talk about for a minute. But when people who haven't been authentic for a while all of a sudden start being more authentic, isn't that unsettling for the people around them?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's unsettling for the people around them. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, you will have people in your life, very close people sometimes, that just don't understand it. They're not going to get along with it. They don't like it. And that's when people run up against their stuff. That's when they usually revert back to being in their ego, because they're running up against people that are close to them that they love. They're saying, you know what? I don't know what's going on with you, but I don't like it.
Right. How much do you think of that sort of judgment is internal, and how much of it is really coming from the other person?
I think it's all really coming from the other person. I think that we, you know, sometimes as much as we want to show up authentically, we monitor or censor ourselves to fit the social situation or the family interaction or whatever it is that we have. And again, that's the challenge. How do I show up in all these different worlds and really be completely authentic with the people around me?
And we'll close. We've just got a couple more minutes, but I'm wondering what the payoff is for moving towards a more authentic you.
Happiness.
Yeah,
happiness and love and connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the people that are authentic are way more happy. They're not living a facade. They don't have a mask on. They're just, you know, the world opens up. So while we're talking about that, let me tell you the five things. So here you go. Be willing to be authentic. Let go of who the image and ego that you have.
And what does really that mean, though? What does that mean, let go of the ego?
Well, it means to let go of thinking that you are not loved and okay. not cared for, or Joe down the street's not going to like me because, you know, I have a problem with loaning out my lawnmower. And
okay.
I'm going to tell him no next time, and he's going to get all upset. So if you just
let
go.
Okay, we've got 1 minute for the last three.
Okay, next is exploring. Explore who you were. pause, stop and take it in for a few minutes and internalize it. Internalize who you really are. And then the last step of beginning your authenticity realization is to speak authentically in a positive way.
So being who you are is not an excuse to be negative. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You know, really, it's not. And so here's a quote by Susan Piver, who's a preacher and a teacher, which I just think is marvelous. it's called being authentic. What does it mean to live authentically? Being authentically is what you're doing when you find congruency between your inner world, your feelings, your values, your gifts, what you need, your spirituality and passion, and your outer world, your job, your relationships, your home, and your community. When you live an authentic life, these things support and synergize each other.
Oh, there's something that feels like a warm blanket, and that's a perfect place for us to end this conversation, but we'll have many more, Joyce, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for being with us, Joyce, and thank you all for listening. I'll be waiting for you here next week, so come back. Have a great rest of your day.